Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome back to Saturday Night Shaggy. It's been a minute, but we're back, and we're here to celebrate one of the more recent titles to have gotten a lot of attention recently from Shugakukan. It got a Netflix adaptation. I don't know if y'all have seen it or not, but Alice in Borderland, Volume 1, and let's get into it. I'm joined by my co-hosts Sakaki and B-Lord. Say what's up.
Say what's up.
Yo, yo, yo.
Okay, fucking corn balls. So I know, Sakaki, you've actually read this more than once, right? Because I think, did you watch the Netflix drama with Jekka?
No, I didn't watch it with Jack. I watched it with my sister. But yeah, I did actually. I watched it, and then I read this volume. And I had read it in Japanese years
ago. So. Oh, okay. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'm curious now about your thoughts on the localization then, but we'll get into that later. B-Lord, do you have any like prior experience with this series title?
No, not really. I'd heard of it for a long time. I'd heard good things about the Netflix adaptation, and I am familiar with Haru Asa's like other works, like Zom 100. I really love. I think Zom 100 is like one of the best titles Viz is currently releasing. But I've been holding out hope for Viz to finally release the manga for Alice, and once they did, I just jumped on it right away.
Nice. Oh damn, I don't know why it didn't click with me that is the Zom 100 dude. Because I did read it and I reviewed it and I liked it. But, is he like...
He's not the artist on that one. That's probably why.
Ah, okay. He's just the writer?
Yeah. I mean, he more or less has said that he doesn't like... Like, after Alice in Borderland... I remember there's an Alice in Borderland sequel that came out right around the time the Netflix one came out. And I guess the timeline, this series is not new. It's like 2013, I believe, that it ran. 2013 to like 2017, something like that.
2010.
Yeah, because this is like a very I don't know, like a seinen series type of.
Well, it actually ran in Sunday. So its history is it ran in Sunday Super. Then after Sunday Super, like for a while, Shogakukan had like three series that ran monthly, or is it two? I don't remember, but they had two or three series that ran monthly in the weekly magazine, and this was one of them. The other one was Birdman. And there's still one more that's escaping me. But yeah, it was never in a seinen magazine, as much as it feels that way. And
oh, you know what? I should correct myself. I meant to say this feels like something, what is it called? Like a Viz signature title? Where
it is a Viz signature title.
Right. Of course. I feel like almost everyone, or every series in that imprint is like gritty. For lack of a better word.
That's probably why it's under it.
I mean, yeah, that would make sense. Because, like, I mean, Asso's first outing was Hide and Clover, which I did translate for a while. And that definitely was... I mean, if you look at that compared to this, you could still tell it's him. But his artwork definitely improved by a whole lot. But going back to what I was saying, with the sequel, Alice in Borderland Retry... That ran, I want to say, towards the end of 2020?
End of 2020, January 2021.
Yeah, that makes sense. He did say in like one of the forewords or the afterwards in one of the volumes, he was just kind of like, yeah, I really had kind of retired from drawing, but I ended up coming back to do this. I mean, he didn't say whether it was because Shogakukan made him or if he was just like, oh, they're doing a Netflix thing, I should do something. But... He's more or less done with drawing. He prefers to write now.
That kind of makes sense, too, because, like, both Zom and, like, his other series that he started recently, like, Know You Girl, they're both not drawn by him.
Yeah, yeah, he's made it very clear he doesn't want to draw anymore. So, yeah. But, yeah, Alice in Borderland. Yeah, I watched a Netflix thing, so it was kind of a fun retreading this and seeing what they changed and everything, because they covered quite a bit, and I don't remember how many episodes it was, because I watched it with my sister a while ago, but they covered quite a bit in that first season, and it did really well, so...
Yeah, fuck Stranger Things, give us Alice in Borderland.
Stranger Things is ending, they need a new thriller-type series to fill the void.
What about Squid Game?
Okay, yeah, there's Squid Game. Squid Game is probably the bigger deal.
I guess, like, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but if we're going to have to make that comparison at some point. Like, which one?
Yeah, Battle Royale type of fucking survival game, whatever.
Like, I mean, that was the big thing. I guess that's what got my sister and I to watch it, because we had both already seen Squid Game, and then we were just like, people were saying, this one's better than that one. No, this
For
one.
For people who like Squid Games...
But Squid Game's just real life kaiji.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really. That's what it is. Like, I don't know.
I would say the guy is that pathetic.
Anyway.
Okay. Clearly I haven't read enough.
I mean, like, I they're both really similar, I guess, but like.
But does Kaiji have the powers of observation?
Actually?
Has he unlocked hockey?
What does this have to do with anything?
Okay, I'm so sorry I brought this. I just was thinking that like people listening to this were probably going to want to know our input on just like which one we preferred.
Squid Game. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Which one we prefer, Squid Game versus, you know, Alice in Borderland, since that was a big deal. But I don't know. I've seen both, but I don't know if you guys have seen both.
I have not. But I have seen Mr. Beast's video. So I know
I've
all the games.
I've also seen that video.
Well, see, you guys have seen that video. I haven't. So there you go. We got, we can have a difference of opinion here. But okay.
I've also seen people play Crab Game on Steam. So
my God.
Okay.
Like a low res version of Squid Game.
Oh my God. Okay, so clearly, anybody listening to this, you're not going to get our opinions on that. Sorry.
One day.
What did we think of this?
It's better than Batum.
I've never read Batum, but I love this. I thought this was really good.
I'm not one to really read a lot of survival games, but I thought that this was pretty engaging. I think the decision to have like a 2-in-1 volume was really good. Because that kicker at the end of like, oh, he has the deck of cards, and he's, the implication is that, oh, if you complete a deck, you can exit. I was like, oh shit, that's the, by the way, spoilers, sorry.
Gotta catch 'em all.
I thought that was a great, for like a end of a book, like a whole, like a set of chapters to read. Like, I thought that was like a great ending point for that volume.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Like, reading through it in Japanese and then reading through this English version, I do like the idea. I do like the decision to make these omnibus. I mean, I feel like it's probably just because this is a bit longer that's probably the decision behind that, but...
How long is it? It's finished, right?
18 yeah, volumes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's 8 volumes?
18.
Oh, I was about to say, like, that's not as long as I thought it would be.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised if that was just kind of like, I mean, it's an old license of a series that, I mean, it has a couple, it has an OVA, but like, isn't, I mean, the Netflix thing is obviously out there too, but I
think. Yeah, honestly, Netflix might be live action adaptation might be the way to go for a series like this. Because like, I don't know, I feel like the games, like, it's pretty easy to probably, like, you know, like, mess around with CG and stuff for some of the effects. But I think having, like, real people for these kind of series where it's all about, like, tension and will they betray each other or not? Or, like, you know, it's about, like, survival and shit. I feel like having, like, real actors who can like emote would like really help sell it more.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, watching the Netflix adaptation, yeah, I think so. I mean, I would also be interested in seeing the anime and what they adapted, but like, I do think the adaptation for the live action adaptation did a really good job with the material. Like, a lot of times with these things, it's like hit or miss, but I think they found that good kind of stride between being faithful, but not to a fault.
Right. Yeah, that's always a good thing to lean on. Just the fact that, like, okay, maybe not keep everything like one to one, because you never know if something might just land better if you switch it up depending on the medium. So
yeah, whatever.
Like, I haven't watched the anime, but just looking off the episode descriptions, it looks like they just adapt like the first three games that they do.
Okay.
Because, like, the first episode's called, like, Three of Clubs, second one's Five of Spades.
Okay.
I see.
When did those come out, by the way? The anime episodes?
Fall of 2014.
Okay. So, yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I mean... Oh, you were going to say?
No, I was just going to say, they got on it kind of quick, because didn't it debut in 2013?
2010.
Three years. Okay, that's about standard.
Yeah, that's shoggy standard, like, especially for something that, I mean, I don't know how well it did, but obviously 18 volumes, it did pretty well, and a spinoff in, like, I think Sunday GX. So, like, yeah, I guess it did good enough. Interesting they didn't just do a full anime, but, they got a live action this time, much time later, so something held up there.
I mean, with how many Fujita series don't have an anime, we can't always have nice things with Shaggy.
I mean, it's, what, two? Like, I mean, I guess out of the Shonen Sunday ones, like, yeah, it's Gekko Jure and Sobote.
Yeah, but it took, like, years to get the other two.
True, that's fair. I mean, Shaggy's always, like, behind the ball. Like, we're just getting a Komi. Komi started in 2015, we got an anime this last year. So, and same thing for Sleepy Princess. It's just a Shaggy. This is just how Shaggy rolls.
They just wake up one day and they're like, oh, hey, remember that manga from like 2010? Let's just adapt that, guys.
Yeah.
Let's still make money.
It's in a doc box. Sorry, this is the Shaggy podcast.
We don't speak the names of Jump.
Oh, shit. But yeah, I will say one big thing about this series, both whether it's the adaptation or the original, is that it really helps the characters. Or, well, Alice himself is, like, relatable in a way that's...
Okay.
Top,
that's... But, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Like, no, I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh man, my life is just like his. But I mean, the sense of not really knowing what you want to do with yourself.
Oh, he liked me for real, for real.
Like...
Like, oh, no, not, yeah, and aimlessness. Oh, that should hit.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, I'm not saying his character completely, but just like
My parents hate me. Oh, that's it, baby.
Yeah, no, I can't really say that, but like, yeah, the fact that even now, just aimlessness. Like, what am I gonna do? Where am I going with this? And then, of course, as the work, as this first volume, you know, continues, we see that, you know, he actually is pretty observant and everything like that. I like that, like, his...
I like how he gets, like, Jimmy Neutron brain blasts out of nowhere, where he's just like, oh, I understand now. Like,
oh, man, the brain blast page. That was so good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, having read Zom before this, I could definitely, like, tell that, like, Arisu was definitely very much the basis for, like, Akira and Zom. Because, like, it's a very similar, like... character type, where it's like the aimless character that feels like they've accomplished nothing and they want just this like completely new life.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they get it, they realize, oh wait, this isn't really what I wanted.
Yeah,
like the kind of character that just got swept away by life, and then once life itself shifts for like the into like another gear, they're like, oh shit, maybe it's time to put on the batteries. Like,
I mean, true. And now that you bring that up, yeah, that does feel like... Because, oh, yeah, that's even how... I forgot his name, from the main character from Hide and Clother, who was just a mini Alice, really, even right down to design. But he's the same way, too, which he's just kind of like being swept away by life. And I mean, I don't think he goes as far as saying he wants a new one, but his life does kind of. Oh, when life hits him hard, I was saying he's kind of not ready for it. Yeah.
I guess we have to check in a Know You Girl and see if that has a character like that.
I mean, from what I've read, no, it's very different. Like, the main character in that, she's just insane. But
oh, even better.
But, yeah.
You know, no. Yeah, there's a fetish for that.
I love how that's where you jump to, Marion.
I'm just being honest.
Living in the gutters. So unrefined.
I do live in New York. We do got a lot of those.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Shout out to the subway rats.
Oh, my God. So, like, one thing that really stuck out to me about this release is the lettering is freaking god tier.
Yeah, that shit is on point.
Yeah, like, huge shout outs to Joanna Estep. Like, it looks so seamless, and, like, especially with how many, like, big fonts there are, like, and sound effects that just, like, cover, like, parts of the page, like, it works so well. Like, I love that, one, like, sound effect that, like, covers, Arisu's fortune in, like, the first game, where, like, right before the end of the chapter, you just have the sound effect covering parts of the page, but you can still see, like, underneath the page. It's, like, it's so cool.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what you're talking about now. Yeah, that is pretty cool. Like, yeah, just kind of go glancing through the sound effects here. They look, you would think that, and also, once in a while, does use, like, he does use, like, English lettering, like, in his sound effects, but, like, you would just look at this and think that that was just the way they got it from Japan, and it looks really seamless in how it's implemented here.
Yeah, that's all you could ask for, to be honest.
Yeah.
I love, a lot of the fonts that they use for, whenever it's, like, on books or, like, typefacing on, like, paper and stuff, like, I love the fonts used for that, and also some of the effects. Like, I think very early on in chapter one, it's like you see some of the letters like fading away, like because it's the perspective is like, oh, the pen on the paper or whatever.
Yeah, there's just a lot of diversity in terms of like the screen tones used for the sound effects. Like sometimes you'll have a more like a dot-like screen tone, or like it'll be a bit more granular. Like, I'm looking at one of the pages where they're fighting BoJack Horseman guy. And, like, there's a ding sound effect here that's using the more dot-like screen tone. But on the other page next to it, it's much more, like, rougher. And that's when he's, like, running out of ammo. So it's, like, changing based on the situation.
Yeah, that whole character looks like he's out of, a totally different series. Because every time he's depicted, he's also, like, sketchy, scratchy, a lot of cross-hatching. The shading is way different, and it's just so much more dramatic whenever he's on the page.
And, like, obviously it's, like, a, like, hood, like, hat type thing, but it's so, so funny. It looks so weird. I see this muscular dude with a horse mask walking around with a machine gun.
Oh, you know something I noticed about the art style? In a weird way, it reminds me of, like, Urasawa, because, like, the Asian characters, like, they look Asian, and they have, like, these facial features that he kind of, like, recycles when it comes to, like, the shape of the eyes and their noses. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I don't know how else to describe it besides that.
Yeah, I can sort of see, like, there's a bit of a pronouncedness to the nose and, like, mouth facial features.
Right.
But compared to Urasawa, I feel Urasawa does the more thick boy nose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just mean, yeah, like, the fact that there's the, like, even, like, the main characters share, like, facial features with, like, the mob characters, and, they somehow still manage to look like their, I guess, their ethnicity for, like,
oh,
a comic,
yeah,
character.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
I don't know, like, for me, the art kind of comes off as more, like, there's a word for, I don't remember the word offhand, but, like, I feel like you could definitely see that, Asso got his influences not just from Japanese manga, because I kind of get this, like, not American, like, French. Like, French, like,
Does it have to do with the lips?
Sort of, but it's also just the character's expressions and the character designs overall. Mm-hmm. They feel less, and I mean, you could tell, yeah, they're obviously they're Japanese and everything, not their ethnicity, but so much the origin of where this manga is coming from. But they also have this, like, I don't know. If I look at this now without knowing it was a manga, I wouldn't be surprised somebody looking at this for the first time wouldn't assume that this is a manga just because of the way the character designs are done.
Yeah.
It honestly reminds me more of a Korean comic than a French comic.
Kind
of. Like, King of Eden comes to mind to me. The designs remind me a lot of the artist that does that.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Like, I mean, I guess what comes to mind just off the top of my head is, like, it's more sketchy, obviously, but I think of, like, Radiant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It kind of looks like Valent style a little bit.
Yeah, that's like, and I've seen like other French, like, French manga inspired French comic books that kind of have that same sort of style as Valente, but like, and it also is kind of is in that sphere, but I definitely agree with you. It does look more Korean than it does, like, yeah, I can see this being like a Korean manhwa, but yeah. So, what was your favorite game out of this set?
Probably the second one. I like the second one a lot. I'm going to be real. I legit thought like they were going to kill off the friend, the guy whose name starts with K, the blondie, the delinquent.
Karube?
Yeah, Karube. First, I felt like, I don't know why, I just got the vibe that like, oh yeah, he's going to die. And then like he just didn't. And I'm like, oh, okay, good, I guess. I don't know. I felt there were so many moments where it's just like, oh, that's a flag right there. Well, but he managed to survive, and I really like the fact that he like really believes in Arisu, and like, yeah, let's fucking go, dude. I'm all about like camaraderie, and that moment where he thought that like, oh shit, I really abandoned him. I need to like do something now. I want to get like revenge. So I'll like join this like suicidal mission basically to like take out the hunter, but like when he realizes, like, oh, what if Arisu is still alive? This smells like a trap. I should probably not do this or whatever. And then when he, like, believes in his friend, and then he, like, shouts. And I don't know. It was just a great sequence of events. I like that kind of shit.
Yeah, I think the BoJack Horseman game was definitely my favorite. The only thing that could have made it better was if Mr. Peanut Butter showed up with a third gun.
Oh my god.
Jesus Christ.
So the dual wielding reveal was like so great. Because like, how do you stop them from having you needing to reload your gun? Bring just another carry more gun.
Like, I would say
and then the gun fanatic is like, I can't believe I didn't think of that. You had one fucking job.
You'd also think that the guy doing the chokehold would notice the gun, like scrunching up against his body, because like the horse guy slammed him into like a wall. Like, wouldn't he then feel the gun? Because a gun doesn't really feel like flesh.
It's fucking dumb. Whatever.
I mean, now I will admit, though, I get where Bueller's coming from, because, like, yeah, every time he draws the horse, dude, it's like, he spent a whole lot of time getting this guy's features right, and then you have other characters, and it's even more just jarring, we have other characters on the page with him.
Like, you have this hyper-detailed horse guy, and this is average Joe next to him.
Hey, don't just call him horse guy. That's the get down mod.
I mean, like, but I would say I'm torn, because I like the very first game, but I also like the one with the horse gunman, just because I like it. I mean, this might reflect badly of me, but I like it when they had the survival games and then they just mow down a bunch of people, because that's when you get to see like
stakes are real.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Basically, stakes are real, and you get to see people's like real natures. And then, of course, too, you get the introduction of, like, I don't want to call him a rival, but like, you know, you got to have that. Every survival game has got that one guy who's like,
y'all gonna be light.
I mean, that's not wrong, but
but then who would be L?
I guess Arisu. I don't know, because he's a social what's it called? Social
outcast.
Outcast. Yeah, it doesn't fit in.
Yeah, he probably goes into that fetal position while eating food.
I mean, he was literally, that's how he hid from the gunman.
Oh, you're right. Okay, he is out.
He also has black hair.
See?
It's all coming together.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, when Horse Dude walks by, he, like, just gets in a field position and he disappears.
Man, El would have survived if he had a Yankee friend. Fucked up.
But yeah, like, and then his buddy Karube, like, Karube, like, carried a lot of this volume, though. Let's just,
that guy was goated.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Like, when he left, when he thought that he left Alice behind, the fact that he was just like, yeah, no, I gotta go. We're about to go horse hunting. He's about to take him down himself. And, I mean, I just, like Varian, I just love characters like that. Like, it wasn't a thing where it happened on purpose, but he still was just kind of like, I gotta make up for my mistake.
Yeah, he's ride or die, bro.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
He's about to ride that horse. Pause.
I was waiting. You didn't disappoint.
Pause.
No, don't bring that back.
Hey, yo.
Oh, God. Now you got me. I might have to sit down with some Boondocks later, but.
Yeah, I like the reveal too, like how the horse guy was just like another, like,
he had his own person mission,
doing their own different game.
Yeah, yeah,
that was kind of neat.
Yeah, and of course his head got to explode at the end. Like, you can't have a death game without some explosions.
True.
Brat-a-tat-tat, bro. Brat-a-tat-tat.
Such a great sound effect.
It is, though. Like, whoever chose that sound effect, that choice was, that was goated. Like,
I shoot my guns out, bra-ta-ta-ta, bra-ta-ta-ta.
Christmas song for generations.
But yeah, let's see.
I really like, honestly, one of my favorite sequences, like, sequence of pages is from, the confrontation where they actually do get split up, and Alice has to, like, hide to, like, not be detected. And, like, the POV switch from, like, the bottom of the page to then, like, flip it from Karibe's perspective. And then he's, like, hiding, and then this, like, flashback to, like, oh, I was never noticed to begin with, so I could just erase my presence. And, like, I don't know where, oh, being mistreated gave him a superpower. I love shit like that, dude. Just, like, drawing from, like, prior experiences to, like, because it sounds, like, plausible. Like, you know, whenever you're, like, in danger or whatever, like, your life flashes before your eyes, and they're like, oh, because your body is, or your brain is, like, scanning your memories to find, like, whatever could help you survive. So. It's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I get, yeah. I think one of my favorite parts was the reveal. Well, I don't know how much we can really say, but one of the reveals and how the horseman game, like, they got all the way to the end. I love that when they get all the, they think they figured out the game, and then there's like, oh yeah, but there's one more thing.
Motherfucker, I need another person.
Exactly. I
would have been fucking tight.
I love that. I love that scene. And then, of course, you know, the heroine showing up just in time. You just, and then and her response is like, you called? He's like, I can't do this. And then she just shows up, you called?
Fucking that girl. She looks like a Code Lyoko character without a forehead.
Oh my god. That was not what I was thinking you'd reference, but okay.
We just went all the way there.
I mean, technically it's a compliment.
That's like a throwback, though.
We went all the way back there. We went from Borderland to back, and just God.
Yeah. One other thing I forgot to mention, I like that the games are like themed based on the different cards. Like,
Oh yeah, like physical activities for like spades, and then the clubs is like balanced.
Yeah.
And then I forgot what the others were.
I think heart. Was it heart that's like, I don't know if that was this volume though, because I'm like remembering the entire series, but I know, I think it was the heart ones that are like the really mental ones that will like mess you up mentally or are supposed to.
Yeah, they don't specifically mention what heart is.
Those okay. are probably the more betrayal centric ones.
Yeah.
Where it's like everyone for themselves.
Yeah, the Sophie's Choice ones where you just have, it's just fucked up no matter what you do. Like, yeah, I do like that they have those themes. Yeah, so no, it wasn't this volume.
They just pulled what is this dude's name again?
Karube?
No. I was gonna make another reference. For like the heart games, it's gonna be like Emiya, not Shiro, the adult. Fate Zero.
Kiritsugu,
yeah. Where it's all the fucked up choices that the girl makes him make.
Oh yeah, that was fun. Totally pleasant.
Okay, would you rather save 25,000 people or, like 5,000 babies or some bullshit? Like,
yeah, or like half the ship riots, so you have to kill that half the ship. Then right. The next half also riots, so now you've killed the majority of people.
What is this? What are you guys talking about? God,
we're talking about future heart games in Alice in Borderland.
So Fate Zero spoilers for a sec. Kiritsugu's whole thing is like he wants to like basically create world peace. But the Grail, because it's psycho, has a very weird meaning of world peace.
Oh, one of those guys. Okay. You say no more. I got you. I got you.
Yeah. Basically like fucked up choices are like the crux.
All because of Angrumaya or whatever its name was that corrupted the Grail.
Oh yeah, that Zoroastrian thing. Whatever.
You know,
yeah,
you guys are gonna get me to watch to just get into Fate one day. It's gonna be really bad.
honestly, Aoki's directing is kind of Kino.
Yeah.
Aoki. Oh, okay, that changes things. I mean, I know of Aoki, but like, yeah. Oof.
I mean, can someone who shilled for Demon Slayer really be that bad? Thinking about Nasu.
You ain't wrong. You ain't wrong.
But yeah, back to Alice. What else? Oh, dude. When, what the fuck is it? I keep saying like Karube or Karube, right?
Karube,
right?
Karube.
All right. Just remember, he's from Dominican Republic. Okay. He's my cousin. When he jumped off the fucking the floor to like escape, that shit was. I got so hyped. I was reading at work because it was kind of slow, and I did like a fist pump on my chair.
Kanye is like awesome. Like he has an awesome design. He's just an awesome mentality. He's just awesome. You know, like I understand why he had the death flags. Because like somebody that awesome can't live that long,
right? Like. You can't be that loyal and not get betrayed or some shit. Like,
nah, like he's too good. He's too good to live, basically. Like,
right. Exactly.
Yeah, I love that scene too that Marion's mentioning because like how it's framed on the page too. It's taking up the entire page. Like your eyes following through like downwards mm-hmm. through like the box, just in the same like direction that he's falling, which is like such a nice touch.
Yeah, and then he even gets like shot in the chin, but he still manages to grab on.
Yeah,
that was fucking brolic.
Oh man, the wham sound effect there! Like it also has the same downward lines, like mm-hmm. shooting through it.
The screen tone.
Yeah.
Like yeah, like I mean, we've been talking about the lettering and everything, but I can't enough talk about just Aso's heart, Aso's artwork. It's so good.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that it even does the series does like the One Piece thing where it's just like, oh, here's the point of the map or whatever. But it's like, how do I word this? It's like less obtrusive.
The map is actually good.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably because the area isn't as like complex.
It's almost like not having like 500 characters in one area makes it less overwhelming. One Piece fans, don't kill me, please.
No, they're too busy leaking chapters. You'll be all right. French
police. Oh, snap.
The French police will take care of that.
Jesus.
They're also leaking chapters, but that's anyway. Yeah. That sure was a thing. That was sure a tangent. But yeah, I can't talk on as somebody who was with like Asso for his first series, and obviously like Hiding Closer was weekly, was in weekly Shonen Sunday. This is monthly. So that also that had a lot to do with probably having more time to kind of perfect his craft. But even considering that, it's just seeing these are things I should have had open beforehand. I'm not really curious as to see how long after Hiding Closer was Alice. I'm going to look that up.
Wasn't Hiding Closer like in early thousands? Like 2002, 3?
2007.
Never mind.
End of 2009. Alice in Borderland would have been a year later.
Wow. That's kind of amazing. Like, you could, again, you could definitely tell they're also, it's not so much of a difference as like a different guy, but it's like the artwork is so much more ambitious than this, than Hiding Closer. But again, weekly, not having weekly deadlines probably helped a lot in that.
Because Sunday S was monthly, right?
Yeah, Sunday S.
At that time period?
Well, Sunday S is still monthly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was bi-monthly at some point.
I think it was bi-monthly before, like a long time ago, but then it went monthly. Like, yeah, and then it went monthly. Well, actually, let's look at this. I just want to be sure. But yeah, I think you're right that it was bi-monthly at one point, but that was a really long time ago.
Ah, okay.
Like, okay, it was originally a... Yeah, it was bi-month. Oh, no, you might be right. Oh, no, it by the time Alice in Borderland would have started, it would have been monthly, because it started going monthly 2009.
Okay.
So it was bi-monthly 2004 to 2000, yeah, to 2009. Then, yeah, it switched over. So, yeah, I mean, it started off as a magazine that was just kind of like for spinoffs and stuff like that. It was basically a special Shonen Sunday, weekly Shonen Sunday issue. Then it became its own thing. Then, yeah, it still remains. Although there's really not much running in it besides spin-offs, but...
I mean, it has Anzai's current thing, right?
Yeah, it has Anzai. I mean, like, there are a couple of, like, original series. I mean, you have a Gundam spin-off, you have a Conan movies, an Adachi spin-off, and Yashahime, which is also a spin-off. Oh, right, Hidenori Yamaji's new thing is in there.
King Golf is there.
Yeah.
Kanaka. The Good Yashahime.
Yeah, but that's a spin-off.
So, oh, yeah, true.
Sawara to Mamono no Ie by Hidenori Yamaji, which hopefully that gets licensed. That's in there. But yeah, getting back to Alice. Yeah, it's that's even more incredible to think about that he really didn't have that much time off between Hiding Closer and Alice in Borderland.
What do you guys think about the side cast? I forgot their names, but the girl and the guy who's like a lecherous manta, but stupid.
No, I cannot see it.
Oh my god.
But I mean, if you take away Monta's smarts, it's basically a completely different character.
I mean, true. But yeah, the side cast besides Karube, like, I feel like this, the first two volumes, we don't get a lot of them, so it's kind of hard to form an opinion of them. I'm trying not to spoil. So, like, I know things that. Yeah, I know things. Let's just leave it there. But yeah, in this first volume, right now, they're like the lady especially, she's like, you know, there's something up with her. But oh, and like, of course, Usagi, I think her name is. I just know her name has something to do with rabbits.
That's Track Girl, right?
Yeah, that's Track Girl. I think that her last name is Usagi or her first name. But yeah, I just remember it has something to do with rabbits. Yeah, obviously you can tell that she's going to be important later. She's like, The older lady is more just who kind of introduces them to the game. And, I mean, she serves that purpose fine, I guess. But, like, the other side characters, I feel like, besides Karube, don't really get enough focus for me to be able to say this or that about them. But I do like Fair. That. I do like that, like, even saying that, their camaraderie is, like, pretty really good, though.
You sure can fish, man. Yeah. I think, I don't know, man. The fact that, like, okay, this girl was introduced, but then, like, Usagi was introduced later. I'm like, okay, so clearly this chick is either gonna be, like, irrelevant, or, I don't know, probably, like, a not a villain, but some kind of, it ends up becoming like antagonistic because of, you know, when that's like the immediate thought when you think of like, oh, Alice, and then oh, the rabbit. So exactly. They're probably gonna, I don't know, be related in like some kind of way. So whatever. This person, I forgot her name again, but I don't know how she fits into the thing, into the like the larger picture of the story. Then again, like neither of the friends have that kind of motif going on either. So who knows if they're gonna pass away later or not.
Wait, so the bunny's the bad guy to Alice in Wonderland?
I'm just like freeform thought. Like,
it's like I've never seen Alice in Wonderland, so I have no idea.
The bunny isn't. Wait. What? Never? No, Alice in Wonderland. Have you at least heard of the story?
Yeah, but I don't know what happens in the story. I've seen like pictures of it, but.
I've never heard of anybody that has not, like, at least, I mean, I get not seeing the movies or any of the movies or anything, but at least knowing the general story. Are you telling me you don't know it?
I know there's a girl named Alice that goes to Wonderland, but I don't know anything else.
I think the rabbit is supposed to be, like, selfish or something, but generally not, like, evil or antagonistic.
Yeah, like, the rabbit.
If anything, they're just, like, they're, like, a motif. Teeth of the like the curiosity. They're like the probably like the first one you meet or something.
Just think of it this way: the rabbit is Truck-kun, and thanks to Truck-kun, Alice is able to be isekai. No,
hold on, you're
see,
spinning,
that
though.
Makes way too much sense though.
But am I wrong, Marion?
You're not. You're spinning facts.
I'm getting educated so well here.
But no, the rabbit's not evil. As Marion said, like, the rabbit is just what triggers Alice to go to. Like, she sees the rabbit, like, and it's talking and talking about how it's running late. So, like, Alice is all like, okay, that's obviously not fucking normal. And so that's, she follows it, and that's how she ends up in Wonderland. She's not, I mean, I don't know if I'd even say that Alice in Wonderland has a antagonist. Like, I guess you could say the Queen.
The Queen?
But yeah, I guess you could say the Queen, but like
Queen of Hearts.
Off with their head, yes. Yeah. I guess she's the closest thing to an antagonist, but no, the rabbit isn't. Like, the rabbit's more or less, yeah, like a guide, which
it's
without
a vehicle.
Yeah, it's Truck-kun. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sticking with that. Well, more or less, like, that's the role without spoiling too much, like, yeah, that's more or less the role Usagi plays in the series.
200-year-old spoilers, by the way. Jesus Christ.
But yeah, I can say that much. Like, Usagi does kind of play the role, she kind of plays a compass for Alice, or Arisu, as the series continues.
So, fair, yeah.
And he does really need it. But I won't say more than that.
Oh, he needs a lot of things.
He does, actually. And yeah, like the game immediately after this, he really doesn't get them. But it's so hard not to say too much. So, but yeah, it's good shit. Definitely pick up this. I mean, if you've watched the Netflix. The Netflix live action drama, that you should definitely pick up this, because like Netflix keeps a lot of things in more than I was really expecting, but they also do take out a lot of stuff. Because I mean, I don't remember how long the first season is, like 8 episodes, like something like that, and they cover around 3 or 4 volumes, I think.
The episodes are pretty long though, right? Like 45 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, but still, just like, but these are monthly page counts, and like I said, they do a whole lot in that one. Even with the increased time that they give them, the episodes, yeah.
Yeah, because the chapter, I mean, like, the how many, like, it was like two to three chapter arcs.
And, yeah.
Like, those are just meaty chapters.
Yeah. And okay, yeah, it is 8 pages. I mean, eight episodes. So yeah, and they cover more or less, like, I want to say 3 or 4 volumes.
That
so,
kind of makes sense though, because that would be like equivalent to like an anime core if you multiplied it by 2.
True. And they ended at a pretty decent place too, where it's not like it's a huge cliffhanger or anything like that. Like, stuff happened. Like, they don't end in the middle of a game, so people who were worried about that, I mean, this is a little bit further than where the Viz is right now, but like, yeah, they do leave off after a game ends, and obviously there's more stuff going on, like, behind the scenes that they leave off at, but yeah, I can't wait till we get some of the later stuff. Like, as a setup volume, this is really good, like, don't get me wrong, but like, it definitely gets way better, like, as it progresses. And I don't think it even loses that sense of what made it never loses that sense of what made it good at the beginning, because like a lot of times with survival games it gets like really really outlandish. So again, without spoiling, I think that Alice kind of keeps its like it keeps a straight path like it throughout this entire run.
Yeah, honestly, I'm down to read more. Like I said, this is not really my genre, but I can always respect something when it's done well, and this clearly is.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I'll definitely be picking up the next volume, because this was, like, really good.
Anyway, time to sign off.
Yeah, I have Chinese food to go get.
You do.
All right, V-Lord, where can we find you?
People can find me on Twitter at VLordGTZ, and I also write various things for all-comic.com, as well as ToonamiFaithful.com, so you can check out that stuff. And then I do quite a few podcasts besides this one. The big baby being our Demon Slayer podcast at DSlayer Podcast. And then I also host Oversoul Shaman King podcast at Shaman King Pod. And Dumb Weebs podcast at Dumb Weebs Pod. And then I occasionally pop up on the Toonami Faithful podcast at Toonami Podcast. Nice. So check out all those.
Sakaki, where can we find you?
Yes, you can find me on... You can find me at Kirobon at Twitter. That's my personal Twitter. Not much going on there. But the big one that's associated with this very show is at WS's Talkback on Twitter, which is weekly Shogakukan edition, where we talk about Shonen Sunday and everything that's in it. And, of course, we're the one Twitter, magazine Twitter, that goes through the entire magazine every week. I have to say this because I'm proud of it. Yes. We also
damn
have...
Right.
We also have wsstalkback.blogspot.com, where we have reviews and translations of Shonen Sunday related things. And as I always say, if anybody is interested in writing about Shonen Sunday, whether it's a series that's currently running or has ended already, feel free to hit us up, because we're always looking for fan input. Besides those, I also write for Toonami Faithful. I haven't been on the podcast for a while. I want to fix that. Probably the biggest other thing that I'm doing besides being on way too many podcasts with these guys, is Another Day, Another Adventure at Another DB Pod with our good buddy Colton, where if it's animated and Goku's in it, then we're going to probably talk about it. Right now we're doing Dragon Ball and it's a lot of fun. So you should really get that listen.
Hell yeah. Is that everything?
I think so.
Okay, cool. You can find me at Microwavy on Twitter. The E is before the V. I have a card with all of my other projects in it. If you want to look at my writing, I have also written for Toonami Faithful at ToonamiFaithful.com. I have written for WSSTV, what the fuck is the website? Oh, WSSTalkback.blogspot.com?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. And I have my own little personal blog that I also haven't updated in a while. I've just been busy with work. My personal blog is heavensdoorknob.wordpress.com, and you can find the podcast on Twitter at SNS. Wait.
At Sat Night Shoggy.
At Sat Night Shoggy. Thanks. We have a Gmail, right? If you want to send us an email, any topics you want us to cover, any Shogakukan stuff in general, if you want to talk about whatever. Maybe you have a story to share. If it's not like inappropriate, I guess we'll share it. I don't know. Just send us stuff. The email is VLord.
SatNightShoggy@gmail.com.
Thank you. And besides that, you can find our episodes anywhere that podcasts can be found, on Anchor, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher. There's tons more places. I cannot think. So If you like our show, please leave us a rating and like comment and share, whatever. If you have any feedback for us, let us know. We'll do our best to improve. And that's about it. This has been Alice in Borderland, Volume 1. Again, we all recommend it. I'm definitely probably going to watch the Netflix adaptation eventually. I have to find someone to watch it with, because I don't really like watching stuff by myself anymore.
We could watch together, Marion.
We could.
We already have so much stuff on our plate, but I'd be down. I mean, I'd want to watch it again. I always like rewatching things with people.
Thank you for listening, everyone. What do rabbits say as they go through the rabbit hole? Toodaloo!
We're all so late.
And then Alice gets very tiny.
Stop. Stop it.
All right. Have a great night, everyone.